Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Challenge Battle of the Exes 2 Wrap Up Podcast for episode 10. I am Brian Cohen. Here with me is my co-host, Allie Lesher. Allie, how are you?
I've been better, but I just ate a crap ton of Kraft macaroni and cheese, so I've definitely been worse also.
That's an interesting choice. Well, I'm not exactly the big Kraft mac and cheese guy myself.
No, I hate real mac and cheese. Gotta go with the box.
Interesting choice. So what do you think about this episode?
I mean, I think everything that happened this episode is kind of the inevitable. There are a few surprises, a few interesting discussion points, but overall, I mean, I don't think either of us were too surprised with how it started.
No, definitely not surprised. I don't think I was surprised with any of the things. I was surprised with some people's reactions to some things, but I think everything that happened was probably to be expected, at least for a rational thinker, I think.
Yeah, I'm glad all of this predictability is kind of coming right before the final so that we don't have too long to be carried until the final with this. I mean, the final starts next week, right? So
yeah, it should.
It should be. It's okay. I mean, we could just get into it if you want. With Wes and Teresa going out, like, everything is, I'm not going to complain, like, oh, it's not fair. Bananas and Ani came back. They had everything together. But them walking out at this point in the game, the way that it happened, just doesn't feel right to me.
It feels a little unsatisfying, yeah. I mean, especially even just who they went up against and everything. It just feels like it didn't play out the way it should have or the way we would have liked to see it play out.
Although, by my count, Leroy and Naya are better than Wes, Teresa, Nani, and Bananas.
I may a lot to have the challenge back checkers check up on this, but this might be the most impressive elimination display of anyone in any season for the people that they've knocked off.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you were going to say just run in terms of most consecutive wins or just in wins in a season. But I can't verify that. But I would definitely have to say that taking out Wes and Teresa and Nani and Bananas, even if they hadn't beaten anyone else, would qualify them as, like, best elimination threats.
Yeah. I mean, do you want to jump back at all to the end of the...
Oh, I definitely want to jump back completely. No, I just...
Yeah, no, but we've talked about this a few times, but this is far and away the best season that Leroy has ever had. And it's really great to see because he's someone that I think pretty much everyone is rooting for at all times. I don't know really anyone who's an anti-Leroy person. So I think everyone is constantly pulling for him.
I love Leroy. I think I picked him when somebody was like, who would you most want to work with on a challenge? But I'd rather hate someone for playing than like someone for just being like funny guy in the background with funny remarks and good at challenges. Like, right. I'm still not over his lack of political prowess in the game. But that doesn't mean I'm rooting against him. It's just frustrating. Like, I'd rather see Wes and Bananas go at it. Like, I was rooting. Actually, no part of me was rooting for Wes and Teresa this day because I didn't think it was possible at all. Mm-hmm. But I would have liked to see if push came to shove, Wes and Teresa stick around.
No, absolutely. No, I agree with that. And it seems like this is almost like the kind of the rookie fails that you would expect to see someone go through like their first couple seasons. And now like in his fourth or fifth, you would hope he would have a firmer grasp on the politics. But because Leroy never did the politics, he's like trying to play catch up. So at least he's starting to get involved in a little bit of stuff. And hopefully in future seasons, he'll be able to get a more handle on situations and read his position in the house a little bit better.
Question. From me, I know I was posing it like it was a question for analysis. Allie Lasher wants to know if, so you're saying this is one of Leroy's most impressive seasons. I'm not disagreeing with you, but are you willing to say that before you see whether or not he makes it to the final?
If he loses to Bananas and Nani, I think it's his most impressive season. Yeah.
Well, let's jump ahead. Are you sure that Bananas and Nani are going in next week? Cause there was some disagreement between me and some of the listeners and some of the other listeners.
What is there some disagreement on?
If Bananas and Nani were actually sent in or not, or if it, that to be con- did the to be continued happen before or after?
She's saying decision. That now you can go back to Jordan and he can push for Jay and Jenna, and then they're going to have to be some type of deciding vote or something.
Well, I just thought what maybe because I know a few of the listeners were like, "Oh, Bananas and Nani are in," and a few of the questions were like, "If Bananas and Nani go in." And my interpretation after seeing it, granted, my DVR did cut out before like the last moment. So maybe the last moment was Sarah definitively saying it. But what I saw was TJ keeps saying, what are you saying definitively? What are you doing definitively? Did she at the end say 100% it's him and Jordan can't do anything?
Honestly, I'm trying to think. When I finished the episode, I left without any doubt that they were going in. I don't remember if there was a definitive word, but I don't really remember Jordan saying after she said that, like, no, we're still discussing. I think it was decided.
Oh, see, I saw my interpretation of what happened, which could be totally wrong, which this is good to hear, because my interpretation, we're totally jumping ahead.
It's okay. Sarah, top story at this hour.
Was Sarah saying, I want to send in Bananas and Nani, and Jordan saying no, which was hilarious.
Yeah.
And then TJ was like, I need a decision. But I didn't know that Sarah was like allowed to have the last word, because Molly Block, the great Molly Block, friend of, if not this podcast, just me.
That's fair.
Said, like, what happened? I know you told me what happens, and we'll get into it because another listener asked that too, but I know you told me what happens if they can't make up their mind. Is that still the case? So, like, I know that there are some people out there, and one of the other listeners asked a hypothetical about them going in. So me and a few scrubs agree that it's still up in the air. But I like your interpretation better, because I was like, if Bananas and Nani were going to get thrown in, they would have cut to a to be continued after that. So my interpretation led me to believe that Jordan sways Sarah.
Wow, that's really interesting, because I did not pick up on that.
I mean, saw the whole thing. I cut out and just assumed.
I don't know when you cut out. I'm trying to remember now, like, the last couple images. I just remember the last couple images of Bananas saying, like, no Sarah.
But I saw.
That's when
he was like, this is the most disgusting thing that's ever happened in the history of the world.
We can get to that also, but yeah. I didn't leave there with any thinking that, because when she was saying that, it wasn't like Jordan is saying, no, we're still discussing. It just seemed like when Sarah spoke, their discussion was over and this was the deciding vote.
Maybe at the end then, and I missed something that you remember, just because she was like, they started talking and he said, no. And then TJ was like, I need a decision. And Sarah says, I want to put in them.
Yeah.
And TJ says again, well, I need a decision.
Did he say after she said that?
He says it a couple of times, I thought. And TJ says, I need a decision.
Yeah.
And that's when I thought it went to be continued, where Bananas is like, you gotta be kidding me.
That's really interesting.
Because Jordan then doesn't, like, is that what happens? Is Sarah, I don't remember Sarah saying, like, okay, well, I'm speaking for the team. I thought she said, I would throw in
that. She did say that. I just assumed that it was just part of the team, that it was just, they had a discussion. When she said, we need to make a decision, she said Bananas and Nani, and then that was just it.
Because even when it's two people, don't they have to, like, because when was the case when TJ was like, if you two numbskulls can't decide, you're going to go in?
It was free agents last year when, I don't remember who the two people were. I can't off the top of my head remember, but TJ said, like, if you guys can't decide, then you're going in. I feel like Nani might have been in that one. I can't fully remember. I don't remember the circumstances, but that was what TJ said, that if you guys can't decide, then you're going into elimination.
So I just don't know why, like, one person, I guess because they're a team and on free agents, they're individuals. I don't know. Look, I would be happier living this week knowing that Bananas and Nani are going in over a Jay and Jenna final. But I did believe that the to be continued happened. I walked away from the episode with, again, the minority of people, the majority of our listeners thought what you thought, but the minority of people, including myself, interpreted as then it was going to open on the continued deliberation and Jordan either saying, okay, fine, Bananas, or fighting with Sarah.
I'll say this. I thought I closed the book on this, like, chapter of this season, but now you're like, I didn't realize there might be another page that turns. Like, it's so I'm almost excited now, even more for the beginning of next week.
We'll see. Let us know in the comments and on Twitter if I'm a complete idiot and my DVR totally screwed me, or if there's any other lone souls besides me, Molly Block, and the one other listener who wrote a comment similar to what I thought. Well, I also cut out a lot of questions who interpreted it differently, because I thought there was definitely...
I did not cut out any questions, so I have all those saved.
Let's see if you can get them in.
Yeah.
Let's see if we can get them in. Maybe I'll just swat them down. Anyway, all right, let's
Should we take it from the top?
Yeah, let's run the tape.
So we jump right back into the end of the Nani and Naya fight. And as predicted, it pretty much ends right when the episode cuts back on.
Which was so stupid because there wasn't really anything left of the fight.
No.
And it was so stupid.
Yeah. It's the same thing what they did with the Tuba Continue at the end of the elimination. There was 3 seconds left. They just end it. Like, you don't need that type of Tuba Continue. But I guess with the last week, there was no real point to end the episode. They knew it. They had to break it up into two just because of the exile twist at the beginning of the episode. So if they were going to pick a spot, I guess that would be the best place to do it.
At least, though, with Johnny and Adam, there was, like, the result of the elimination. Like, this was, like, you already knew who was going in, and it just seemed like a drum roll for a bigger fight that mm-hmm. didn't happen.
Yeah.
It's like, to be continued, the fight ends, and everything is the same.
And then we got this a couple times, but then I took a little bit of foreshadowing of Sarah saying once again that, you know, this is a game, and I want to make it easy because this is a game and I want to win. And that was like a constant theme of hers throughout the episode, so it was nice foreshadowing for the way everything eventually played out.
Everything in this scene, pretty much everything in this whole episode, every single person's reactions bothered me. So like Jordan's reaction after with like a big old stupid smile on his face where he's like, we're still sticking with our, like, shut up, Jordan. Like, nobody, TJ didn't ask you if you've changed your mind. You get to be quiet, and you've already had your moment of fame that Naya stole, so be quiet. Then Sarah, when she, again, volunteers her opinion to defend herself, when she doesn't need to defend herself to Naya, like, follow my rules from last week. If you are safe, especially if you are in a position of power, shut up and let the person in jeopardy, like, blow themselves up. Just be quiet. Don't defend yourself. Don't say anything. You don't need to say anything.
Yes, keep it simple, stupid.
And then Teresa is giggling throughout all of this. Like, she has something to smirk about. You're about to go home, and everyone knows that. Just wipe the smile off your face, giggle.
Her laughing is all reminding me of, like, when a psychopath is going through, like, a crazy state, and they're just, like, laughing maniacally because they don't know what else to do. That was her. So, like, she couldn't process everything that was going on, so she just started laughing.
Brian, sidebar on the podcast. Respect the sidebar, listeners. How much experience do you have with psychopaths when they're in this crazy state
I was just thinking about Walter White in Breaking Bad. He's like in the hole, he's cracking up with Skyler trying to answer the phone. That's what I just thought of with Teresa laughing, that she just had no other, she didn't know what to do. She just started laughing.
Fair enough. Question for you again from,
from Allie Lasher.
Yeah, from your podcast co-host, Allie Lasher. Everyone is saying like Naya's insane for what she's going off about. How is this, if Nani is saying that she's insane, how is this any different from like 90% of the times that Nani has erupted? Not necessarily in the same situation, but like I feel like I've thought Nani is insane 90 times more than Naya in this moment.
Oh, Nani is definitely insane. And she admits it, that she goes nuts, absolutely crazy town a lot of the times.
But how is this worse than anything? Like, everyone's having this crazy reaction about Naya, like, calling Nani a whore, calling Bananas a champion, and, like, yelling at everyone. How is this, like, anything different or worse than anyone else has done? And I'm just throwing Nani in there because Nani, like, has a very strong, which I think hypocritical, reaction to this.
I guess it's not really that different. Countless people in this house have erupted at one time or another. I mean, everyone's a little bit crazy. That's why they even got casted on the show to begin with. So, I mean, no one really has any right to call out anyone for being crazy. I mean, we can call them out because I don't think we're like that. So we can do that type of stuff.
We can do it because we're not on TV. So, like, you don't know me like that.
Right, exactly. You don't see me at that point. But, I mean, yeah, I don't think... we've obviously seen Naya do a lot crazier stuff, so this was not like the craziest thing she's ever done.
This was, I mean, comparable to comparing it to what she's done on Portland, like, yeah. This was sane, but it also was like kind of a rational reaction to having to go in again. But are we seeing most of this because nothing else is going on?
I mean, this is the most explosive fight by far this season, not because this was like the most explosive fight ever, but because there was just nothing else comparable this season, right? I can't think of anything like this.
Yeah, snooze.
Yeah.
Womp womp. Best thing to come out of this is Leroy saying, I'll do the dirty work, I'm a garbage man.
Leroy's the best. I mean, how do you not like Leroy? He's so... Oh, thank God, he's the best.
Such a missed opportunity, though, for him to say he's about to take out the trash.
Yeah. He'll work on it for next. He needs to work on his confessionals. He needs to have some things planned.
I did like how you could see it coming to him, though. He's like, I'm not afraid to do the dirty work. I'm a garbage man. Like, I'll do the dirty work. Like,
yeah, I'll get my hands dirty.
In his head. Like, that was not pre-thought. Like, that just came to him. I loved it.
And now I really don't like you for this because now I cannot unsee the small head on him. And
he's a pinhead, man.
It's really bothering me in every one of his confessionals.
It's only in the confessional, though. I think when they went back into the confessionals, like, he had worked out a lot more or something.
Because he's
like
more like zoomed in, and he's not like, so all you really see is like his head and then like his shoulders, and you see how small it is comparatively.
You can see me right now. I have like my head back to make a bigger neck, and I'm trying to like be Leroy, but fail. This should really be a video.
We've had some requests, and I don't think that's ever going to happen.
Can you, another question from me. Why is Sarah so bent out of shape about all of this with Naya?
I think she just really just wants to defend her moves that, you know, this is a game that she shouldn't be just shouldn't be ridiculed for doing what she's doing, and maybe she feels that way. I don't know. Like, she just really constantly needs to defend her playing the game.
Shout out to all the people who watched late night infomercials with me as a kid. Like, she needs to just set it and forget it. Like, you did it and just walk away and let, like, watch it burn. I don't understand. Mm. If anyone understands the set and forget it from the Ronco rotisserie oven infomercials,
I don't know.
I will follow you. Anyway,
I don't have a lot of information.
I will have to unfollow you now, Brian.
Oh,
because
I'm sorry. That's okay.
Anyway, she does. That's what happens when I go off script and I just start saying things. But no, I just don't understand why she feels the need to defend herself. It's because she's a nice person trying to do not nice things.
Yeah. No, I think that's it. That's basically the bottom line.
Do you buy when Teresa is saying, "I'm capable of beating Naya, and I'm going to win"?
I mean, I think she does believe it. I mean, I think Teresa and I are fairly similar. And at that point, what are you going to say to yourself? Oh, man, Naya's better than me. I got no chance. Like, I mean, she has to at least convince herself she's better.
I just don't even think she has convinced herself. Like, I think she definitely showed up in the challenge. But I think all of the conversation before, and who knows, I don't know if that's confessionals are taped on the spot or if they come back one day and like the Real Housewives and record them all. But like, she was just, like, so whiny, even in that confessional where she's like, I'm confident I can beat Naya, or I'm capable of beating Naya. I didn't even believe her.
Yeah, I mean, I felt she just emotionally checked out the second Bananas and Naya came back to the house. So I think she's basically just trying to spend the rest of that time trying to get herself back in the game mode.
That's fair. I mean, I think she's capable of beating Naya. I'm just saying, like, I don't even think like that. Right. She didn't sell me on that.
No, she's not very convincing.
I wish I had a bell to ring. Oh, bro, I feel like it's like a schoolyard bell is going to ring.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know about you, but this is probably my favorite elimination setup, at least given if it's
with
the right
twist.
Yeah. I mean, this is a little different than previous ones, but at least with the right people and the circumstances, I think this is the one that can produce the best eliminations.
It's definitely painful to watch.
Yeah, so it's Hall Brawl, and as Jordan said, it's a real headbanger. The way this one works, the way this variation of it works, is each guy is lined up on opposite ends of the hall. Their partner is lined up behind the opponent on the opposite side. The guys run through the hallway. They collide. They reach their partner. The girls then do the same thing. They try to reach the bell at the other side. They ring it. First one to ring it wins. That's 2 out of 3.
One thing I want to ask before we get into it is the new format. So typically we see it as heats, like guys heat, girls heat. Right. This is the first time we see it as a relay. Oh, or it's not heats, it's individual. Anyway, sorry. Gregory Contreras asks, what did you guys think about the performance Teresa put up in the dome? I'm asking this specifically because I want to say, would you guys have liked to see the elimination be one-on-one as they've done in the past, since really Wes did her no favor by no fault of his own?
I liked the little twist on it. The only thing that I didn't like is that I wish the second heat was reversed, and I wish the girls went first that time, just to kind of like mix up the order of things and see what would change. So that's the only thing that I wish they did, but I'm fine with them not doing what they put, like the same thing for each elimination every time. So I'm fine with them adding a little twist to it.
Yeah, I'm just wondering why, like, I wish we saw it in heats just because then, like, if one person has a major advantage over the other, you get a little bit more of a chance. I'm fine with how you're saying it, but I don't think that that would have changed much. I think it would have possibly, like, we could have maybe seen Teresa beat Naya in one of the heats, which would have been way more interesting to see it come down to a final battle between. It would have been Wes and Leroy, but.
Yeah, I mean, it seemed like in the second heat, Teresa did beat Naya. At least when they separated, they were in the middle, and I think Naya had a little bit of a head start. So I think Teresa would have beaten her in that round, and it would have been interesting to see if Wes and the Leroy going head to head with Wes having a little bit of a head start, if that would have altered things. So I just don't know why they kept things the same for each one.
And there's some speculation that, and we'll get to this later. Someone asked. Let's see how my skills are, if I can jump to it right now, because I do know where it is in my list. Okay, here, got it. Vincent Cloud, and I'll ask his real question later, but he says that production hates one and loves another between Wes and Bananas. I just have to think that unless Wes is like the worst human to deal with and personally attacks each production member's families and everything they love, that production would want to see Bananas and Wes in the final and have them both there as long as possible.
Yeah, I don't think production hates Wes. I mean, just because Bananas happened to capitalize from the Exile twist, they didn't plan this Exile twist to screw Wes over. I mean, it easily could have been Wes and Teresa in Exile coming back and screwing over Bananas. Like, that's a possible scenario that could have played out. So I don't think production hates Wes at all.
No, I think obviously this challenge favored Leroy and Naya, both in size on both of them and just strength. I mean, Naya has like way more muscle tone than Teresa in pure weight, and Leroy is bigger than Wes.
Right.
And this like purely size matters. I mean, we've seen some small people do well in this, but for the most part, like Wes is not small enough to benefit from quickness.
Yeah.
So I could see why somebody would see this challenge coming and be like, oh, production has it against Wes. I'm surprised, honestly, that production did. If anything, this is proof to me that production doesn't just make the call based on who goes in, because I think they would have had a vested interest in Wes and Teresa sticking around.
Yeah, I think absolutely. If production had handed it, Wes and Teresa would come back and they would try to set up for Wes and Teresa winning Power Couple next time or some variation of that. Yeah, I think they would want Wes and Teresa up against Bananas and Nani in a final. So, yeah, I agree.
So Leroy and I are just wreck.
Yeah, I mean, the first round especially. I mean, Wes, tries going low, doesn't work at all. And then Naya absolutely obliterates Teresa in the first rounds.
Again, this is where people's reactions really, really piss me off. Yeah, no, so
I'm probably going to be with you on this, so.
Nani needs to shut the hell up. Oh my God.
Yeah, so I mean, Wes, whether or not you believe it was real or whatever, at the moment, you can't know that he's not hurt. So he's on the ground, he says his neck hurts, his back hurts, he's laying down, they're testing him for a concussion or whatever. At the time, there's no way to know he's faking it. I mean, you could think he is, but until he, like, gets up and starts moving around, like, to be applauding that he's hurt or making fun of him that he's hurt, especially when it's, like, a head
sucks
or neck injury.
Sucks to suck.
Like, that's not cool at all. At all.
Am I an evil person for loving this right now? Like
yes,
everything
yes,
she
Nani,
said,
you are.
Everything she said just like was nails down a chalkboard to me.
Like if you want to be happy and say sucks to suck if they lose and you're happy they're gone, like that's all fun and games. You know, Wes and Teresa are doing the same thing when Bananas and Nine lost. That's fine. But you don't say sucks to suck and are laughing and making fun when someone could be hurt. Like you don't do that.
So let's talk about, was Wes really hurt? What do you think?
I think he got probably dinged up. I don't know how he did, because it seems like he just kind of went down and then maybe Wes, like Leroy's ankle or knee hit Wes's head. Maybe that's what happened. I couldn't really tell what might have happened, but I don't think Wes would have faked an injury like that. I don't think so.
Well, I kind of am giving him credit by saying I do think he would. I think Wes is somebody who would use any sort of strategy he could possibly use to give him somewhat of an advantage. I mean, in this case, he was so down and almost out that why not just try anything? And my first thought was maybe he's doing it strategically so that Leroy is more delicate with him. Mm. That obviously didn't work because Leroy this time, but for someone, like I was thinking in my position, if somebody had a neck or head injury, I used to be a gymnast and like neck or head injuries are terrifying. Like, I've had someone ask me, like, wiggle your toes to see if I was paralyzed based on a neck or head injury. So for me, I would not want to cause someone to be paralyzed. I think Leroy's argument is fair. Like, if you're injured, step back. If you're not, I'm going to go just as hard. But it was possible that somebody would have a reaction to be gentler with him if they thought he was injured. I also wouldn't put it past Wes or his ego to try to put himself in a light where he could make an excuse for why he lost. I mean, he didn't do that ultimately, but he could always say, look how heroic I was injured and I still cared about my partner and I played, rather than just bowing out, pulling a Chet.
Right.
So I do think he was like hurt, but I don't think.
Maybe he could have been milking it. I mean, that's definitely possible.
I would say it's to his credit if he was doing it strategically to hope that Leroy would back down. That I thought was kind of brilliant, but maybe he was just really injured.
Yeah. So he does get up. He does round two, and this time he tried sliding into Leroy, which once again failed miserably. But Teresa and Naya had a pretty good battle. Teresa put a pretty good lick on Naya, and they were battling in the middle. What I didn't understand is when they reached grabbing onto each other, everyone was screaming to each of the people to let go. At one point, I think Banana screamed to Naya to let go and for Teresa to let go. So I didn't really understand what the peanut gallery was invoking.
It's tough in this kind of thing because it's like, it almost reminds me, and this is not at all a good comparison, but it reminds me of the challenges in Survivor where you're holding like a little idol and you can like jump off your post and sacrifice yourself in hopes that you get them off first. You know what I'm saying? Like the right ones where you can make a huge move that risks you losing it, but that's how you'll win. Sorry to any people who don't understand what I'm saying because it made no sense. But I think in this case, like there's Teresa dragged Naya a little bit. Like I was so impressed with the way that Teresa showed up, but at some point you do have to let go and just run. And by doing that, you're risking that the other person beats you.
I mean, I fully get that, but what I just didn't understand was, I mean, obviously Bananas and Nani are rooting for Leroy and Naya to win, but then it seems like he's either giving advice to Teresa or like playing mind games with her saying to let go when she shouldn't let go. The whole peanut gallery made no sense to me.
Well, I do think that I think we've seen that before, if not on this show, another show, but I think it was this where if you just scream at them, they'll listen to you even if you're not, maybe that was Survivor and they're blindfolded. I don't know, but there is a strategy to just, when someone's in a high pressure situation, if you're screaming at them, they're not going to filter out who's rooting for them and who's not and may just listen to you.
Right.
But I also think it was in Naya's best interest. It was in both of their best interest to let go at that point and just race it out. Yeah. Teresa was exhausting herself by lugging Naya 2 feet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it was a very good battle. It seemed like Naya just barely won. I mean, editing may have made it seem closer than it was, but I mean, everyone was reacting, said it was pretty close. But so Wes and Teresa, after, as Jordan said 36 hours ago, having complete control of the game, are now gone. Just like
It makes no sense to me from the peanut gallery more than whoever they're rooting for is Nani saying, that's what you get. Like, that's what you get for playing a good game and getting your best competitors out before you. Like, what exactly? I know they showed, like, a little montage of Wes, like, celebrating his victory. But what exactly did Wes do besides play a really, really good game and now he's getting punished for it? That is karma.
Yeah, I don't know what Nani's hatred for Wes would be. I mean, I could see her hatred for Teresa just because of their fight earlier in the season, whether they want to be on side Teresa or Nani is whatever. But I mean, I could see the hatred for her to Teresa. But yeah, I don't understand what hatred Nani has towards Wes unless she's just following suit with Bananas, which is probably the case.
I think she would follow suit with anyone based on what we've seen from her.
Very true.
Alex Pendermoran wants to know, did Wes just, quote, lay down and give up in elimination, or was he actually trying some strategy that's never been done before?
I mean, no, he wasn't just giving up. I mean, he was definitely trying to win, so I don't think he was just giving up.
I think it was part fear, but I think it was part strategy.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely, but I wouldn't say fear is equal to giving up in this case.
No.
I mean, if I was in this situation, I wouldn't give up, but I certainly wouldn't try to take on Leroy head on. So I would try to do something different as well.
Right. But I mean, it didn't work the first time. And maybe the second time, I agree, he did a little bit better because Teresa seemed to be in a better position with Naya. But it really didn't work the first time. And to do the same thing again, I think he was just too afraid to try it smack on. And I think you could see with Teresa and Naya, even if you are the smaller person, going head on is probably the best route.
Yeah. I mean, because if you're, when you're running full speed, maybe you'll lose your balance when you're running. And you're not necessarily going to be able to hit someone with your full force. So, I mean, you got to at least try to take a shot, if I think, if you're less in that spot. But it did not work.
This also really frustrated me. Another reaction is Sarah's like making some comment. What did she say about a plan like this? When exactly is she planned or something like that?
Yeah.
How could you have planned this, Sarah? Like, you planned that there was a secret twist in the game that you had no idea about, and Bananas and Donnie would come back to save your ass. Like, I don't understand that.
Yeah, I mean, look, Sarah, you've had a very good season. You can pat yourself on the back for some stuff, but you did not plan this, so you can chill out a little bit.
If anything, she could have been really, really screwed, because the way Jordan, like, who knows how things would have shaken out if Bananas and Donnie didn't come back, and that's probably a bridge we don't want to cross, but she did not plan well enough with her partner to keep him under control in the event that Wes and Teresa remained in power.
Right. No, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it could have been disastrous. It just so happened it did work in their favor very well.
But TJ, with the only sane reaction, giving them their kudos.
Yeah, I mean,
it was adorable.
This is almost better than a Yukilvis saying that they're one of the best competitors, male and female, the show has ever seen. So, wow.
That he's ever seen. He's keeping it within scope. Like, yeah. He's not trying to say that he's watched every season. He clearly hasn't.
I mean, TJ's definitely not watched the season that... I mean, he doesn't watch seasons that he's on. So he definitely has not watched previous seasons that he was not the host.
And then by this time, Nani got me so frustrated that this is the first time I've ever used the F-bomb in my notes. When Nani's like, there's no exile, there's no second chances. Are you kidding me, Nani? Are you really kidding me? That you're like, see, you don't get a second chance. You don't have exile. You got exile. Like, you benefited. You're putting down the possibility of exile, which is the only reason you have life in this game. I was like, she is so effing annoying.
Just be quiet, Nani. You're in the game. Just be happy you're in the game and have a shot at winning. Just keep it quiet. I know it's like some of the stuff we're in confessionals and stuff, but still.
What bothers me about Nani is that she has no self-awareness in terms of how people will be watching this and perceiving this, like, themselves as viewers. Mm-hmm. Like, there are probably 50% is just raw Team Bananas fandom. And 50% are people who are probably saying, like, this is a little bit unfair. I don't want to hate the game, but I do, because this just isn't how it should have shaken out. No one knew about it. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
And Nani is having no respect for the population who are questioning whether or not she should even deserve to be there. And she should be using her confessionals to say, I'm so lucky. Like, we fought our way through exile. I'm so lucky that exists. I'm just happy to be here and have another day to fight. Like, I feel bad that they have to go home, but I'm glad it's not me. Like, she should be pandering to the way that she is still in the game and not acting like she's Queen Betch. I'm so frustrated by this. Like, no,
I completely agree. This has not been a good look for Nani since returning from exile. She's not handled herself the best of ways.
And then when Teresa goes out, like, I'm going to accept the invitation to her pity party, because she did get totally screwed by back-to-back seasons.
Yeah, I felt really bad for her. I did. I really felt really bad.
Yeah. And I'm not one to, like, promote her, like, sympathy for herself, but she totally got screwed last year, and she totally got screwed again.
Yeah, I mean, she and Wes put herself in great situations this time, and it just went, like, the worst possible way it could have, through all the exile and the challenge of the week and then the elimination and who they were up against. Like, if you spelled out the worst possible scenario for Wes and Teresa, this was it. Like, I don't see how it could have got worse.
On that note, Alex Pandemaran wants to know, do you think something like Battle of the Exile and how it completely screwed them over could possibly drive Wes and Teresa to retire or take a long break from the challenges?
Well, didn't Teresa say she is retired? So
Teresa did say she's retired.
I think Wes will be back, though. Wes has been through enough battles that this won't really faze him. It might piss him off. I mean, maybe he'll take a season off, but I don't see him going away.
If you go by what he says he does the challenges for, that's like when he was on the box truck challenge. It's like, this is why you do the challenges, which Sarah also said. But it's like, okay, we get it. You do the challenges for the money. Don't lie.
Yeah.
But I can understand them being really pissed at this, but I don't think pissed enough to give up being on TV and money. Like, there's no downside for them to come back.
Right. No, exactly. I mean, I still think Theresa May come back. I mean, I don't believe anyone. And so unless you have a kid or something, I don't really believe you retired. And even then, I still put some doubt in it.
I want to know what you think about Naya's. Everyone wants a shortcut to the final, but I'm a competitor. Situation.
Yeah, this was one of her major themes of the episode, and it irritates me because it's not only does it A, not make sense from just a pure like game aspect that, you know, this isn't like this is the challenge, it's not supposed to be fair, like there's only one winner, but she was in a scenario at least what it was 2 or 3 weeks ago when they were the power couple. They could have thrown Jay and Jen in, but they chose a strategic route and they chose to throw in Zach and Janae. So when you have a chance to do something and then you don't do it and then you're pissed at someone else for not doing the same thing, you can't blame them because you're doing it also. And just because their reasons go against what you want to happen, you can't be upset about that.
Yeah, I think we got a lot of listeners agreeing with what you're saying, that Nye was a complete hypocrite in this moment. So I totally agree with what you're saying. I also don't think that Nye realizes that they view Nye and Leroy as a shortcut in the final also. So I'm like coming to the conclusion this week that they don't view Nye and Leroy as threats in the final only because of what Banana says, where it's like, I hope it's not a heights or water challenge or you're screwed.
Right.
And so I do think that they know their weaknesses and they know there's always going to be a water component, like you've said in the past. And so I think that it's like ironic that Naya is like talking up what a competitor she is and everyone wants a shortcut. Like, I think that they view them as a shortcut too. I think anyone would love to be in the final with Jay, Jenna, and Leroy and Naya.
Yeah, and it just bothers me because Naya, you know, she's had some down moments this season. Obviously, the challenge last week wasn't her finest moment when she just quit, but she has shown herself to be one of, if not the strongest female of this season in certain moments. So if she just, like, keeps her mouth shut and doesn't say things like this, she could be looked at a lot differently, but she just continuously does these type of things that causes people like myself to think differently.
I mean, if she keeps her mouth shut, we have nothing to watch on TV, but no, I agree with what you're saying.
I mean, don't get me wrong. The fights and stuff are entertaining, but like the nonsense about, oh, don't you want to go up against the best? Like, that's not the point of winning. Like, you don't get more money if you beat better teams. You get the same amount of money no matter who you're beating.
I also just don't think that everyone necessarily views them as a better team in the final. In the challenges, sure. But they certainly have ended up in a lot of domes just by failing at final similar challenges.
Right. I mean, this is what, their fourth dome? And I'm trying to think. I think it's probably, what, 2 and 2 that they've lost or got voted in, I think.
Is this only their fourth dome?
Isn't it? I think it's 4, right?
Maybe. I mean, I feel like I watch them every week in the dome, but that's totally not true.
I feel like it seems that way because some of their most recent domes have been like to be continues, where they're like, they're going to be in, but it's like not until next week. And now it's like same like this one. So it probably covers like 7 episodes, their 4 domes.
What makes me so sad for Leroy and his politics again is at the end of this, like, Naya meltdown, he's like, you can't blame Bananas. It was Jordan.
Yeah.
And it's like, Leroy, this is the exact same plan that Wes hatched with you to blame you, and you still can't figure it out.
No, and I thought the weird thing is I thought he did figure it out last week when he was like, oh, I just realized we got played. But, like, apparently he didn't really figure it out. Like, he kind of.
But I think he just got played as in they don't have his back, not as in, like, Zach's going to gun for you if he comes back, which he didn't come back.
Why would they think, why would he really think that Jordan is that close? I thought his main alliance would be with Bananas. So I don't really think that him getting screwed over by Jordan would be that big of a shock for him. Right?
I mean, I'm at a loss. Like, I just could not understand. Like, I can't get into Leroy's head and understand. Because if someone came to me and said, how about you do this to someone and don't even tell them so I don't even have to be involved, that should be your
especially
first
when clue. That person is Wes.
Regardless, that should be your first clue. And I thought he got that too, because he's like, I hope you've learned something from this. And Leroy's like, yeah, you're still a snake.
Yeah.
But then apparently he not. Goes along with it. And then the next week or 2 weeks, whenever it was, and the same thing happens to you where your main alliance does nothing and their other alliance throws you in and you're now defending your main alliance. I can't understand, Leroy. Come on.
It pains me because you wanted to do so well and it's like, just kind of pick it up quicker. Come on.
And then this part of the episode where I'm now thinking, and I think too much about the edit of the challenge because I don't think that the edit actually matters. But when I look back on the season as a whole from the first episode till now, this just can't be Nani and Bananas' story to win. I also don't think it was Wes and Teresa's story. I mean, for like 2-3 weeks, we didn't see any of them. I just kind of feel like the way we've seen the arc, this has to be Sarah and Jordan's story.
I mean, that's, I feel like it was kind of through different phases. I feel like we started off very strong on Sarah and Jordan. They had like the very early winner's edit. And then I think Wes and Teresa kind of took over the winner's edit in the middle. And now based on what Sarah, I really think mainly Sarah is just her confessionals about all the moves she's making. I think it is setting up for Jordan and Sarah to win. Yeah.
I mean, I think the winner's edit is different in MTV, if there is such a thing in the challenge, is not what we would typically think of. So, like, I think MTV loves a story arc, loves evolution, loves change, loves, you know, drama to happiness kind of thing. And that's what we saw. Like, Wes, like, we always saw a constant thread of Jordan and Sarah. Like, the Wonder Twins, then they have a falling out. They're fighting for a week. Then they make up. They come back stronger than ever, another power couple. And now, if they did throw in Bananas and Les, I mean, Bananas, right, and Ani, whatever. I just think that the only constant, I mean, I have a hard time imagining Sarah and Jordan beating Bananas in a final just based on Sarah's like endurance or lack, right, of, lack, right, thereof.
That we've seen in that earlier challenge, yeah.
But I just don't see this arc being Bananas and Nani's story at all.
And even just not just this episode, but throughout the season, how many times have we heard Sarah discuss in some, one way or another, you know, I've tried to do this one way or another for 7 seasons and it's not worked. And now I'm doing it this way. I feel like that can't, like, I don't know. Maybe they were overthinking the edit because as we see later, like during the challenge, this isn't really the most well-edited show. But I just can't think they're just throwing those lines in constantly for no reason. Do you agree?
Oh, I'm sorry. I muted my microphone.
I lost you for a second. Hold on.
I can't see this going any other way for Sarah and Jordan edit-wise. I agree with what you're saying. But I don't know how that's going to play out in the final. It's the only thing I think keeping me interested now in seeing the final. Unless Bananas and Honey go home at the hands of Leroy and Naya. And then it is Leroy and Naya, Jay and Jenna, and Sarah and Jordan. In which case, it will be the finest setup for yourself for the final. And Sarah and Jordan deserve to win not only this prize, but all 3 places of prizes.
That would be really funny if 2 other teams do so bad. They're like, you know what? You don't deserve that money. We're just giving it to the first place team. Like they lap them in the rounds or something.
I could see TJ saying that, like, listen, I don't have this kind of power, but if I did, I would give you all the money. But since I don't, here's some money for everyone.
I guess he gets, that's like the extra special. You killed it. You killed it so badly. We're killing the other teams to give you the money.
And then we get Naya's apology tour, which, yeah, is, I took it personally and I didn't understand that I shouldn't take it personally. Is this not completely personal? Like, I don't want to defend Naya here because I don't think her rampage was the greatest play. And I think her apology tour is a pretty decent idea, although it's grasping at straws. Isn't this completely personal?
What do you mean?
Like, when everyone's saying, like, oh, gameplay isn't personal, like, us putting you in wasn't personal. Like, it completely was personal because you should have put in Bananas and Nani, Sarah and Jordan. So it is personal because you have a relationship with Bananas, so you're not going to put him in, and you don't feel like you had that great of a relationship with Leroy and Naya, so you're going to put them in instead.
Well, the thing is, I know, obviously, I have the hindsight of 2020 with the way this episode played out, but would it have actually been a better move to throw in Bananas? Not, I'm trying. I think I said that last week, but now I'm trying to think if that's actually the case.
Well, unless you think that Wes and Teresa were guaranteed to lose to both teams, which I don't think you can fairly say. I think you look at who's the bigger final threat, and I think you would say it's Wes and Teresa and Bananas and Nani, and you want to guarantee that one of them goes home. If you knock out Leroy and Naya in the final, I mean, in that dome, and you have to face Wes and Teresa and Johnny and Nani, I think that's a worse situation. I think the way it worked out for them is amazing because they keep their relationship with Bananas and Nani, but it would have been, if Wes and Teresa came back, that would have been terrible.
Because I'm thinking, if they throw in Bananas and Nani last week, and let's say Bananas and Nani win, then they have really no one on their side if they lose. Here, Now, I don't know how it would have played out if, let's say, Bananas and Nani would have won, who they would have voted in, but I think it helps them keep the door open that they wouldn't throw Jordan and Zara in.
I mean, unless if you believe Bananas at his word, which I don't think you necessarily can rely on at this point. Also, if you want to go hindsight and whatever, then we can just say that Sarah and Jordan won Power Couple, unless you're considering that Wes and Teresa may have done better than them, which is possible. But I just think if you're looking at who is your biggest threat to beat you in Power Couple and your biggest threat to beat you in the final, it would be better to have both of those people against each other in the dome to guarantee that one of them goes home. That said, Leroy took out Wes and Teresa, so check.
No, I don't know. I was thinking about that during the episode, if they actually made the right decision or not. But
I do think whether or not they made the right decision, it was a personal decision. I think it was Bananas is my alliance, and I and Leroy aren't as good of an alliance, or they're not as good. That's personal. Mm-hmm. Your athletic ability is personal.
Right. I think they could have thought that Leroy and Naya had a better chance to beat Wes and Teresa in an elimination than Bananas and Nani. I think that's not an unreasonable thought.
They didn't even, from what we saw, they didn't even think about it. They were just Bananas, you're good. It wasn't even a deliberation from what we saw. I mean, granted, maybe they did think that out, but I just thought it was the easier pick. I think it was how Jay picks. All of these are personal. Jay is I can't send in my girlfriend and I can't send in my alliance, so all I can do is send in Leroy and Naya. And I just never like when people in these shows say oh, it's not personal. I still like you as a person, but I'm taking away your shot. To me, it is personal. But let me ask this question. Kristen Narr asks, quote, it's a game and you have to play it with no emotion. That's what Jordan said.
Right.
Has Jordan ever played that way?
Well, definitely not last year. So you can X that one off. This year, I think he's trying to a little bit, but I don't think he's doing that well at it. I mean, there's been many instances where emotion has definitely taken over. So maybe he's getting a little better, but I would not say he's someone who could be saying that line.
I mean, if he was playing not personally or without emotion, he would have made that deal with Jay and Jenna.
Exactly.
And so that's why I can't stand when someone in power says, oh, it's not personal, because it's always personal. I would rather, if I were a competitor, I'd rather him say, this is extremely hard. Because it's because we're so close, but I'm putting you in anyway. It's not personal. Don't be mad at me. It's just a last ditch effort to save your own ass.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And then we come full circle back to Panama City.
For the first ever night challenge. Is that true? I honestly don't even know if that's true.
I thought that for a second. Because you're not counting the final.
No, they're not counting the final.
And so I'm going to have to defer to MTV because I can't even remember what happened last season.
That's very fair. Let us know if there's ever been a previous. I can't remember a previous night challenge. I also don't really remember actual regular challenges that well. So I don't know. But I mean, if TJ said it and a Jay said it, then it must be true.
All right, so set this challenge up because you're so much better at that than I am.
Is that sarcasm? I feel like that's definitely sarcasm.
No, it's 100% real because I think I tried to do it last week and still had to have you explain it again.
So this is Don't Let Me Down, and I love immediately TJ goes, yeah, it's going to be scary. So they walk out onto a ledge 50 stories high on a building. There's 5 separate ropes that they have to climb down to ring a bell at the bottom. You go down one rope at a time, supposedly wait for your partner to do it at the same time. You have to let go of one rope and then grab onto a second separate rope and do that 5 times down the end. And this is the most crucial part that is so clearly voiced over that was really very fishy, a little bit fishy at least. But I hear an echo. Hello?
Okay, that didn't work. I was playing the serial theme music.
Okay, I did hear the serial music. I didn't know what was going on. I thought I might have been having a stroke. So that's good. You were playing it. So yeah, so the very fishy part is that this is a team event, and it's basically you only do as well as your weakest link. So however far your partner goes, that's how far you go. And then if someone goes as far as that one, then it's how far as the other person go. That is the tiebreaker. And that's the part that is so clearly voiced in that I feel like they were not very clear on when they were doing the challenge.
Falls. And they're not at the rope. Then what happens? And if TJ was doing a voiceover, then what did he really say? Sorry, that was so bad. But I just couldn't resist. This is so technically unsound, and I hope you can hear me now because I'm not as technologically savvy. And I hope that works.
This was equally as not technologically sound as the voiceover was, so it fits well.
But the point is, yeah, I thought I was going to be the only, not that I thought I was going to be the only one to know this, but I think last time there was some voiceover, like, we didn't get as much response about it. Mm-hmm. A couple of people were like, why was this so horrible, this voiceover? Yeah, I think, I don't know if it's because I actually thought the voiceover was going to indicate to me that every single person, girl, did fall at the same rope. And so, like, sometimes I feel like they go back with voiceover to emphasize rules that matter.
Right.
But in this case, I think they cleaned up where they were probably messy at the moment because Leroy didn't seem to understand either.
No, I mean, Leroy thought he thought I reached the end. We're definitely safe. Now, I think this rule makes sense to the concept of this challenge. I don't really know, even if they knew this was the rule, I don't know what would have changed. I mean, it's not like Naya purposely fell just because she thought she was safe or something. So I don't know what would have changed, but I don't really know what they thought the actual rule was. That's more the curious part.
Like, I think it's possible that it seemed like actually everyone else got it. Like, it was Jay and Jenna or Sarah and Jordan or both of them. Like, someone said, well, it matters how far you get as a team.
Yeah, I think Jordan said that it was like a team thing and we did well as a team.
So they understood. It is not terribly unlikely that Leroy just didn't get it and just like heard it himself. I think it was pretty clear. Like, well, only when Leroy was like, oh, I totally understand. If I get to the end, that I was second guessing my own interpretation. Cause I was like, there's no way they could possibly average it out. Like how long they get as a team, then how quickly they get to the bottom and how fast that happened and how far they get individually. Like that made no sense. It only made sense how they actually did it.
The other option that I thought they could have done is just like, if you want to, they can add the totals of each person together. So like, let's say Nye got to the second rope, but Leroy got to the fifth rope. So that means they got seven ropes. And then other teams
but you have to do time, too. But it's also how fast.
Well, then you could do... Then the tiebreaker would be whoever got to the furthest rope, the quickest, or something like that. I don't know. Their tiebreakers are always very fishy. They could do whatever they want with time.
Yeah, but I don't think they intended the speed to be a tiebreaker. Like, from what I understood, I guess it is a tiebreaker because if you get further, then it doesn't matter. But it seemed like they were like, get as far as you can as a team, the quickest. Yeah. And then the tiebreaker is if everyone falls off at the same rope, which is so unlikely... then go as far as you can as an individual. Like, I think Leroy just screwed us all and confusing us by being so confident.
Yeah, because, I mean, make the rule that is real makes perfect sense for the way this challenge should play out. So I don't know really what they thought it would be. But what did also didn't make sense is when TJ was kind of saying, like, who did the best, who did the worst. I mean, I know he lumped Bananas and Nani in with them just because they technically did finish third. But, I mean, they both reached the third rope, so there was... clearly Naya and Leroy lost. It wasn't like, oh, they lost by like 15 seconds. Like, they clearly lost. There was no other way to say it. I guess he just wanted to lump them in because they were the third and fourth place teams, but it wasn't like there was any doubt who lost based on the rules.
I mean, yeah, I didn't really notice that. I just kind of wrote down who won. But that is interesting because, yeah, I guess when you're a top four, like, half are going to be the worst and half are going
to
be the best.
I mean, if anything, Bananas and Naya should have been grouped into the winners because the winners all only got to the third rope.
All right. Take your bananas.
I'm just saying, it didn't make sense that they were.
Anything, they should have had third place be rounded up to the top two. I mean, that's ridiculous. But my question is, what I thought was interesting is the inclusion of Jordan saying the team that wins is going to win it. Did you agree, forget who actually won with the setup to the challenge? Did you agree that this was like the best determination of who would win in a final?
Not really, not at all. I mean, I can't imagine this being part of a final. And if Jordan's plan was to throw in the rookies, then it's really then, I mean, it just would have been them three in the final. So I don't see how, who winning this would have mattered. Right?
No. I thought he meant whoever wins this would be an indication of who's going to win the final.
I think the only challenge that is anyway an indication of the final was like the marathon thing they did like 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Right. No, I totally agree with you. I just thought it was interesting that he said that. I mean, it was upper body strength. It was height. It was working together as a team. Like, this was also indicative, more indicative of who would win in a final than several of the other challenges. But I definitely don't agree with him, unless this was only included to foreshadow that they're going to win because they won this challenge.
Right. I mean, I think this is as equal to determine who would win a final as when they had to, like, jump out of a helicopter and swim around a buoy. I mean, there's like swimming and this, like, it's just qualities you need to do well in a final. It's not necessarily exactly how you're going to do.
Why do you think that the first two teams didn't get to, I mean, the last two teams didn't get to watch the first two teams?
The only thing I can think of is that the only way you'd be able to watch them is if you're like looking down over a building, and maybe there's like some safety reasons that they don't want them just looking down over a building. So the thing I can think of.
Logistically,
like, right. I mean, I guess maybe, especially because it's dark, so it's not like you could put them on the ground floor with them and look up. You wouldn't be able to see them. So I don't know how they would be able to see them, or maybe they went to like the room underneath the roof and looked out the window. I don't know.
I mean, they could probably, they're filming it all. They could probably have a camera that would go live to a monitor, but like,
it seems really,
it's probably not worth it.
Yeah, it seems really complicated just to give them a sneak peek and just say, you know what, screw it. For this time, there's no advantage. You just have to go in blinds.
That's interesting. I didn't think logistically. That's a good answer to things. One thing that's also logistical, the camera angles of this were making me so nauseous. Like, they normally, the filming of this is amazing. Was it just me? I thought this challenge was killing me.
A little bit. I'll say the slow motion shots, I think they tried to use them with them falling, and it didn't really work just because how it's so dark, you can't really see that well. So it seemed like with them falling in slow motion that they were just falling really far. You couldn't really tell that it was in slow motion. So that didn't really work. But yeah, I mean, the camera angles were kind of weird. I kind of understand why they don't do many night challenges. It doesn't really play that well. Especially maybe just this one, just because you're not, it's hard to see everything. So I could see maybe why they don't do many of these.
The coolest thing was that they were wet. So when they like bungeed back, like all the water sprayed, like they were exploding. That was cool. But everything else was making me dizzy. One thing that was really cool is like, this is where Sarah and Jordan really show like they are the Wonder Twins. Like, they were moving so synchronized, and it's one of those things where Nani and Bananas, like, Nani really needed Bananas, like, put your right hand there, like, he was needed like twister instructions, like right foot rope, right. And Sarah and Jordan were just like moving seamlessly down the rope, so I'm surprised they didn't make it further than they did.
And again, I feel like we have to say this like every week, but keep in mind there, this is a challenge where you have to climb down a rope. And Jordan has one hand, and he's,
right.
I mean, it's like mind-boggling how good he actually is at this stuff. It's pretty crazy. But a little bit of a shout-out to Jay and Jenna. I know there's a bunch of questions about them, about if they deserve to be in the final, but this was the most impressive performance I've seen from them, that they did this well.
Yeah, I have all their questions saved for later. I call it the, where is it? I have a whole section for them because a lot of people were showing mad love to them.
There was a lot of Jay and Jenna love on the questions.
It's the in defense of Jay and Jenna section, so we'll get to it.
Who is Jay?
But yeah, they both get to rope three. They do pretty well together, or as well as Sarah and Jordan did. I'm surprised that with the way Leroy like just shimmied down by himself to the fifth rope, I was surprised that nobody else got as far.
Honestly, I was surprised that anyone got to the fifth rope. I thought when I saw how hard it was to get like from the first rope to the second, I thought them doing five ropes was a joke. That there's no way anyone's going to get there. And of course, Leroy does it because Leroy is insane. So I was surprised anyone did it.
Well, like, Leroy isn't that insane, so that's why when I thought he like got there pretty quickly, like that somebody else was at least going to get to the bottom. Like, I thought that was pretty. You know, I can only go by based on how it looked. I'm surprised anyone even grabbed the first rope from the platform.
Right. I mean, I probably wouldn't be able to.
But just by the way that Leroy shimmied down there, like, I'm kind of shocked that nobody else did that. Jordan, of course, like, yeah, he was using his wrist and a hand. Like, that was ridiculous. But, like, I don't know, Bananas. Like, you know, he dropped off for Nani. That said, he has a lot more to worry about. Like, Naya dropped off, and then Leroy only had himself. Bananas did have to worry about coaching Nani through the whole thing. I mean, I would have needed so much coaching just to even get on the rope, so I'm not trying to diss Nani. But Nani did, even when Nani was alone, she was like, I need Bananas to coach me through this.
And that was also frustrating, because you know what, Nani? Like, you're a good competitor. You've done well in a lot of these. Like, you almost won the season last year. Like, you don't need Bananas to do this type of stuff. It's frustrating with her, too, that she doesn't fully believe in how good she actually is at this stuff.
I don't know. She does I mean, last season she really did rely on like her male partner on which each way. Like, I don't know, like, she, I don't know how she would have handled Zach totally bailing like Laurel did. I think she probably would have like sat down next to him and cried.
That's possible. But I mean, like, I mean, she does well, though. She does well enough that she doesn't have to
with motivation.
Someone. Yeah.
And you see here, like, I was chanting at my screen, sucks to suck, Nani, because it was just, that was karma. Like, that's karma. Because when you're kicking someone when they're down, and then you get screwed 1,000 feet in the air, like, that's when it sucks to suck.
Yeah. So, Leroy and Naya lose, Jordan and Sarah win. You see how they posted the timestamps up there for the two winners? I thought that was interesting.
It wasn't close, if I recall. I didn't write it down.
Yeah, I had it at Jordan and Sarah at 149, Jay and Jenna at 256.
Yeah, it wasn't close at all. But, I mean, just on the strength and ability and fear conquering.
They but shout out to Jay and Jenna.
Yeah.
So then TZ drops the bomb that they're not going back to the house. They are deliberating right then and there.
Okay, so many things to discuss at this point.
I mean, I think we had like 40 questions this week. I think 80% of them were on the vote, so we had a lot to discuss.
Well, just pure, before we even got to TJ saying that, like just when I heard Sarah and Jordan win, I wrote in all caps, if you do not send Bananas and Nani in, you are insane and you deserve to lose. Like, is there any other option? Is there any reason not to send Bananas and Nani in at this point?
I mean, there's a reason. It's a stupid reason, but...
No, what's the reason? Is there a reason to send in Bananas and Nani?
The reason is that you want to go up against the best so you can prove that you're the best. Oh, that's, don't get me wrong. That is an asinine, stupid reason that should not be a reason, but that is the reason to throw in Jay and Jenna. Or to make them, quote unquote, earn their stripes is another reason.
The interesting reason that the only reason, I mean, at this point, I thought there was zero reason. And if you don't send them in, you suck. Catherine Edmonds asked, do you think Sarah knew this would be her last challenge since she's getting married, therefore wasn't worried about people being mad in future games? The only reason would be Jordan protecting himself in future challenges.
I mean, that's like the interesting part of the challenge is the fact that these moments do carry on season to season. Now, it seems like I think a lot of these people do have sometimes not a short memory, but these things do get forgotten based on circumstances that you're in following seasons. So, I mean, if Sarah knows this is it, this is her last one, then yeah, what's the difference? Do whatever you want. Burn your bridges. I don't know. I don't think this will damage relationships between Bananas and Jordan in future seasons. I think this is more of like a one-type season alliance anyway. I think Jordan is too hot-headed if he's on his own to be able to do something like that. So if he wants to try to save face now, then good for him.
I think Jordan is delusional enough to think that him and Bananas have a relationship without Sarah. And that's insane. Like, I think Jordan does not realize that his relationship with Bananas is only occurring because of Sarah and that he will not have his back in future seasons. And I think that Sarah, maybe she's retiring because she won, or maybe she knew she was going to retire and this was it. And so she's just going hard. But Sarah has been burned by Bananas, and Jordan certainly has been burned by Bananas. And if they can work together now, it's not a reason to sacrifice your game today in the future in hopes of what will come in the future.
Right. And it all goes back to, like, there was an earlier conversation where Sarah was defending her move to Bananas, and Bananas says something to the effect of wanting to go up against the best players is BS and everyone here should know that. So I don't think he should really be that blown away by this move. Especially things, what do you think? Let's say Bananas and Nani win. What do they do?
That's interesting. I mean, let's go through all of it because we got asked what Edward Morris wants to know who Jay and Jenna would have sent in if they won. I don't know. I mean, I'm not completely convinced that, I mean, we would have heard about it on the screen, but it is possible that Bananas would be cocky enough to throw this so he didn't have that blood on his hands. But
no, yeah, I don't know. I don't think you throw this type of challenge.
All right, Leroy's automatically in the dome. It's tough. It's tough. And the only reason I'm saying it's tough of what they would have done is because I do feel in the challenge there is a history of keeping your alliance and your best competitors till the end. And I think it's stupid, but I don't think there's a huge history of dragging purely goats.
Right. Now,
do you think they would have sent in Sarah and Jordan?
100%. And I hope to try to get this confirmed by Bananas himself. But as Nick Sabetta said, That was what Bananas considered the most calculated, callous, and heartless move in Chow's history. Has he already forgot how he completely dicked over Paula to win the island? Yeah. Right. So, I mean, Bananas obviously has a history of doing this type of thing, and obviously that was also a long time ago, so maybe he's changed as a person. But, I mean, you just don't... Why not put yourself in a position to go up against Jane Jen in a final? I mean, Bananas basically said it himself earlier in the episode that you don't want to go up against strong people.
He did put himself, though. I mean, I agree with you, and I think Jay and Jenna would have put in Bananas and Nani also, but we can debate that. But I don't know. Bananas did demonstrate a trust for Sarah and Jordan, putting himself potentially in harm's way in order to save face with Leroy. Like, he threw that challenge to them knowing that they could have put him in then. And so he had some level of trust that they wouldn't have put him in. And so maybe... because they did that, that shows that he would have honored it in return. But I don't know. And I wouldn't be hating on Bananas if he did do that. If Bananas won and we were having this conversation and they were going to put Sarah and Jordan in, I would have said, if you didn't do that, you're stupid.
Right. I mean, I just think there's also, for Sarah to think about this, there's really just no other viable option. Like, let's say Jay and Jenna lost and it was between throwing in Bananas and Nani and Leroy and Naya. I think Sarah may have decided to stick to her alliance with Bananas and throw in Leroy Knight just because at least he was a viable option. I think the right move would then to be throw in Bananas and Nani, but I think in her mind, at least there's a viable option to stick with her alliance to Bananas. But here,
then,
you just can't do it. You have to throw in.
Then I would have said, they're stupid as hell. They put Leroy.
I mean, I agree. That would have been a very stupid move, but I think it was a lot more likely that Sarah would have thrown in Leroy and Naya instead of Bananas and Nani, then throwing in Bananas Jay and Jen over Bananas and Nani.
Can you explain to me why Jordan is not on board with this? First of all, do you really think that they didn't have a conversation before they won what they would have done?
That I can't. The way Sarah writes in her notebook, I can't imagine them not having every scenario played out. So that's a good point. I don't know how they didn't have this fully played out. Unless... they did, and Sarah decided to make a last-minute curveball, but I think this was her plan all along.
I don't know. I don't know how it's possible that, A, I have no idea why Jordan is saying no to this. Like, that, please explain that to me, one. And two, there's no way they didn't talk about this, unless it's only because maybe Sarah is, like, crazy superstitious and doesn't like to talk about things until they happen and assumed that they would have deliberation time.
I know. It seemed the way Sarah had her notebook in, like, episode two, she seemed to have the entire season arced out of what she wanted
to
do.
Yeah, but maybe she doesn't like to talk about it.
Maybe. I don't know. It just doesn't make sense. Like, this was, like, the exact conversation they were defending themselves with the previous vote about choosing to vote in Leroy and I, because, like, where this is a game, we obviously want to make it easy for us because this is a game we want to win. And now it's like Sarah not only has to defend herself again against everyone else, but also against her partner. It doesn't make it, like, Jordan should be, yes, this is 100% what we're doing.
Especially because there is no relationship between him and Bananas without Sarah. So if she's willing to slit his throat, you should be right there. I don't know, with the paper towels or whatever someone else has when they slit someone's throat.
Like, I understand relationships could be mended and fixed, but it wasn't that long ago that Jordan was choosing to throw himself into elimination just to knock out Bananas. Like, it's not like they're screwing over Johnny Riley, one of, like, his very good friends, to do this. Like, Bananas, like, they just started to form some type of bond.
In that way, like, Jordan is so pathetic. Because in the beginning of the challenges, Jordan was like, I want him in the final just to beat him in the final. But I don't think that's where this is coming from. Like, I definitely think it's, oh my God, we're besties now. Like, don't hurt him. And the way, like, he comes around Nani and Bananas when Wes goes home and says the comment that you said, like, from first to worst, basically, and is, like, chummy, is just so, so sad. Because Bananas does not count Jordan as a friend. And Jordan is like, finally, like, the big boy will play with me. And I just, I want to cry.
There's one thing about trying to align yourself with a strong player to, like, keep yourself going in the game and then eventually slit his throat. And there's another thing to align yourself with a good player and then kind of get, like, sucked in by, like, his charm or something and think you're, like, besties. Yeah, and then think, oh, well, now we're going to go out all the time and do all this stuff. Like, he almost got, like, caught up in, like, the circumstances and kind of forgot what he was doing.
Jacob Rabbit wants to know, is this the ballsiest move that Sarah ever did? I thought it was brilliant. And my biggest question watching this is, like, how is this a heartless move? How is this a ballsy move? Like, why is making the better move ballsy? Like, I don't think it's ballsy at all. I think it's obvious. And I think Banana should only be pissed at himself that he isn't power couple to do the same to them.
Yeah, I agree. It's not ballsy at all. It's logical, plain and simple logical. This is what they should have to, whatever it is, this is what they had to do.
One thing I want to jump to, totally out of order, is I can't stand the new format of the show with all of the to be continues and the way that it's been lopsided due to exile. Mm-hmm. And this has been happening with The Bachelor also, which just wrapped. But it's so frustrating. The pacing of it is so completely off, and we never have any sort of closure at the end of the episode or clear opening in the beginning. Is this just because of exile, or, and I know we've talked about this before, but it's just getting worse and worse. Is this just because of exile, or is this because they have to cut the bar scenes because nothing's happening?
The last few to be continues, it has to be because of exile, because they basically had an extra challenge thrown in that took up about 15 to 20 minutes, and that pushes everything off to now all of a sudden, like, last week's elimination goes into this week, and then the challenge is the end of the episode, now this elimination goes into next week, and obviously the challenge is usually two parts. So the exile twist makes basically the last three episodes all to be continued, and knowing this was going to happen makes the previous to be continued of the Johnny versus Adam elimination even more baffling. Because if you want to have to be continued, you're going to have like three of them near the end of the season. So that one makes absolutely no sense.
I just think the way that this is messed with the pacing of the show has not been worth the additional drama. Like, I mean, I don't like that Bananas and Nani came back because I thought the flow of the show was fine. That said, the flow of the show could have been horrible and it would have been great to introduce new drama. So I think I understand, like, the risk-reward thought to have a new twist to, like, jazz up the challenge. But I just think the way that it has messed with the pacing of the show has been, my head's been exploding. I agree. I can't stand the way it wraps up and then it opens. I'm like, oh, shoot, this was what was happening. Oh, I was so not invested in this. Okay, now it's over. I don't care.
I agree. I think the move to do is, instead of doing an after show, which I do happen to enjoy so far this year, is make the episode where you're having the final exile, make that an hour and a half episode, and have the exile be like the final half hour of that episode so everything can stay on pat. That's what you have to do, I think.
I mean, I think it would be, is the after show airing on MTV right after? I don't know why my DVR is not recording it.
There hasn't been one in a while.
So. Okay, good. Okay, because you said that you're enjoying it. I was like, oh, maybe.
No, I mean, just like the couple that there have been, I just thought they'd been pretty good. But it maybe cut one of those out. I mean, they obviously, it's like, they're not showing anything of note at 12 o'clock on a Tuesday night.
It's probably like a Real World reunion, honestly. They usually air them.
So, like, you could stick in. You could stick in the extra 20, the extra half hour for the exile twist, and that way the final four episodes are not so, like, cut up and discombobulated.
Okay, Tyler Sloan is the three-person army of people who didn't think that the decision was totally made at the end of the episode, I think. Maybe I'm misinterpreting his question. I don't think TJ ever explained what happens if the two members of the power couple team can't come to a decision on who to vote in. With Jordan and Sarah not agreeing on which team to throw in, was there a penalty in place that they couldn't agree? I'm surprised we haven't seen more disagreements on who to throw in this season with a lot of these exes hating each other. So are we in agreement that what would happen is if they can't come to a decision, they just get threatened that they'll go in if they don't cave?
I mean, that's been the precedent, so I think that's what we would have to go with.
And are you surprised that we haven't seen more disagreements?
Not really, because it seems basically like most of the decisions are really being made by one person, and it usually happens to be the guy in the team. So, I mean, if there is more outspoken females on the season, then maybe we'd be seeing more disagreements. But, I mean, outside of Sarah and, I guess, Naya, what other women are disagreeing with their partners on what to do?
It's also potentially that when you're on a team, you have your same interest aligned. So, like, whoever the guy wants to put in may be also who the girl would want to put in strategically. I mean, I totally agree with what you're saying. This is what would happen if there was a more strong female voices, if there were more strong female voices on the teams. But we haven't really seen teams with that much conflict becoming power couple too often. It's like Wes and Teresa are going to be on the same page, especially because Teresa has given up. Like, Nani and Bananas did have some disagreement, but Bananas explained to her why she was being insane.
Reading through... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, reading through his question, I do think you may have misinterpreted, because the line that stands out to me is when he said, with Jordan and Sarah not agreeing on which team to throw in, was there a penalty in place if they couldn't agree?
Right. No, I agree with what you're saying now.
So I think I think it's an island of two now.
Which is fine. I mean, I'm full well admitting that I didn't see the end, like the last 2 seconds of the show. But did TJ say, okay, Bananas and Anis, you're going in?
Like, no.
It was left up where Sarah was speaking for the team and Jordan was saying no.
Yeah, I can't fully remember. I think the last moments of the episode were just Bananas saying, no, like, Sarah, you're not, no, Sarah, this isn't real. And then, like, fades to black, I think, with Bananas' voice echoing. I feel like that's the way it ended, but I probably could be
wrong. In which case, you could see why it's, like,
I did not think of that in the moment, but thinking back, like, yeah, I could see you potentially reading it that way.
In the last, I mean, based on all the other To Be Continues, what's going to happen is it's going to open on TJ saying, Sarah and Jordan, I need a decision. And then Jordan saying, fine, whatever she wants. Like, right. I think there'll be like one more second left that we didn't see. But yeah, anyway. Edward Morris's question, who do you think Jay and Jenna would have sent in if they won?
It's assuming the same circumstances with Leroy and Naya, I guess. And
yeah,
I would say Bananas and Nani, but very 50-50 in my eyes.
Why? Talk through it.
I don't know if they really had any animosity toward Jordan and Sarah at all, and maybe if there was some lingering stuff that maybe they wanted to venge Wes's departure, that they would vote out Bananas and Nani. I don't know. I just don't think they had really much alliance to either of them, so I think that could have really just been maybe them pulling out a coin and flipping it.
I mean, I don't think they had any allegiance to Wes at the end, because Jordan told Wes, Jordan told Jay about, remember how Jay was like, oh, right. I would rather take him out myself, but yeah. I'm too shrimpy and weird.
But I would suck, yeah.
So I think in that respect, Jordan built some cred with Jay, and Jay may just say, look, you came back from exile, you're the big dog, I'm the little shrimp, and you're going in. Like, I did Bananas and Nani.
Yeah.
No, although Jenna and Nani, didn't they room together? Weren't they super close? Isn't that why they said they didn't throw in? But who can say?
Yeah. Surprising that we even had the thought that they almost did win. So, once again, kudos to them.
Alex Pandemaran, Sarah mentioned on Twitter that if she made the same decision and was a guy, he would get a pat on the back and would be told good move instead of a lot of hate. Thoughts on this? So, Sarah tweeted, if I were a dude, no one would have said shit. They would have patted me on the back and said smart move. What do you think?
I mean, this is something we've definitely seen a lot happen in Survivor about with especially with older women, when they do something like that, people get pissed. But I don't think that people were upset at this move because Sarah is a woman. I just think people in the house were upset because they're bringing along an easy team to get an easy win.
I don't think it's the house. I think people are tweeting a lot of hate at her, and that's what
she's saying. Is that true? People are actually upset?
I think so.
Really? I thought it was just more like an enclosed house thing. Wow, that's very surprising. I thought everyone would see the move for what it is.
I'm not sure, because I don't think she's gotten that much hate on the episode yet from people in the house. Like, I think only Bananas was like, come on, don't do this to me. Whereas, like, I'm sure Bananas' army is tweeting at her. And I think that's really the thing. If she had made this move against Wes, I don't know that people would have been shit-talking her. I think Bananas has this, like, crazy army that I'm speaking to one of the lieutenants, so you can tell me if this is true, if there's been an organized march. But I think... I'm just kidding. I know. I think that...
Hey, I'm a lieutenant. That was a compliment for me.
I think that... Well, lieutenant in the Bananas army, which is pretty low. But I think that... I think Sarah is getting, I mean, but it's like 13-year-olds on Twitter who are like, Bananas, how dare you? I wear a shirt. Like, how could you? You're so stupid. Like, you're stupid. But I do think that there is a point. So I think the majority of it is because it's Bananas. If she had made this move against Wes, I don't know that there would be that many haters. But I do think that there is a point to be made for women making the same moves as men and getting criticized.
No, I definitely agree with that. I just don't think this particular one is like the hatred is because of that.
And then Sarah also tweeted, let's be real here. Anyone with half a brain would have done the same thing. Oh, I'm sorry. Does the 5-time champion have to work for this time? Which was a sick burn. And I also think he has worked. So that was kind of mean, but also right. fair. And I think it's funny because she's saying that Jordan only has half a brain.
Exactly. That's basically exactly what he said. Yeah, that was like a shot at bananas. And then like the shot like broke off into many different pieces and like was hitting everyone else in plain sight. So.
Yeah, I think mostly that was a shot at Jordan.
And it was probably also like a semi-shot at like Naya and Leroy for thinking that that's not the move they should make.
Gregory Contreras wants to know, playing Monday morning quarterback, should Nani and Bananas have listened to Leroy and worked with Wes and Teresa instead of Sarah and Jordan? Quick addendum to the question. I don't know that Leroy was really pushing them to work with Wes and Teresa. I think he mostly was like, take me back. But do you think that Bananas and Nani should have come into the house and worked with Wes and Teresa?
I mean, I don't think so, because I think if this was like, let's say they're working with Wes and Teresa and Jordan and Sarah went home last week, and let's say Wes and Teresa are in this spot and they win Power Couple, Wes is slitting Bananas' throat in this spot, 1,000%. So if you want to replace Jordan and Sarah with Wes and Teresa and say that's what they should have done, then I don't see how anything changes.
I think that I completely agree with you, and I think Wes and Teresa would have slit their throat last week.
Right, yeah.
I think Wes is willing. Wes is legitimately willing to work with certain people, like more so than Bananas. Like, I do think there was a possibility that Wes would have worked with Bananas, but I just don't think the odds of him. I think you would have trusted Sarah and Jordan not to slit your throat more than Wes and Teresa. So there's just Wes being right. that Sarah and Jordan slit their throat too doesn't make it like you should have gone back to work with the wolfier wolf.
Yeah. I mean, Wes, the thing with Wes is he's willing to say he's willing to work with anyone. Which is different. Like, Bananas is not even willing to say he's working with Wes. Wes is willing to say, sure, Bananas, I'll work with you. But then when it push comes to shove, he'll show he's not really working with you.
Yeah, I mean, there is. You could. I mean, Bananas doesn't know that Wes's plan or spoken plan in the Final Four was to just get rid of the rookies and go with the strength to the end. You don't know what he would have done mm-hmm. in that situation. But I don't know. Maybe you could argue that he would have still done it. But meh. I think what they did was the best thing they could have done under knowing yeah. what they knew.
No, I agree.
Okay. Tyler Armijo says, and please correct me. This is a funny correction. So Will Seaman.
I did see this one.
Because I said Will Seaman. And listen, I'm an adult. And people have names of all kinds. And so I'm just going to go for it. I'm not going to try to go around it and hope that that's for the best. Good for you that your name is Seaman. And he's one of my best people to talk to on Twitter. But I'm sorry. I just went for it. So I'm going to go for the most complicated and embarrassing for me pronunciation of your name. So please correct me like Will did if I'm pronouncing it wrong.
Hey, it's what it says. Spell it as it sounds.
So Tyler says, or in this case, say it as it's spelled.
Yeah.
Tyler says, do you think the purpose of the season-long edit of is done to set up Sarah making the best move of the season?
That's like a nice way to package it all together. I just think that's just what was happening in the house, and that was really all they had to show, so that's what they showed. I don't think they had that, like, oh, we're going to show Zach and like Johnny and Jordan, like all these people acting mean to their female partners, but it's all going to lead to Sarah being the great mastermind. Like, I just think that's just trying to connect strings that aren't really there.
I don't know. I think it's a good theory. I think if they had like a ton more stuff, they wouldn't have beaten us over the head with it, but we were unnecessarily beaten over the head with it. Like, I think there were other moments they probably could have shown that weren't amazing, but were less repetitive than this. And this is sort of the vindication for the women, is that Sarah like slits all the big dogs' throats at the end in the form of Johnny Bananas. So I don't know. I think it's a nice arc. I think if they had something more amazing, they would have picked that instead, but it does make a little bit of sense. Okay. And these people are like professionals, so they probably do like to have some sort of cohesion or meaning.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, it's a stretch on their part. Q's Kevin wants to know, I feel like I'm one of the few that were rooting for Wes and Teresa. Sidebar. What? Am I a chopped liver? Okay, back to the question. But as much as Wes and Bananas fight, I can't help but sit back and wonder how this would have played out if CT and Diem were able to stay and play, especially given Wes and CT winning rivals. Your thoughts?
That's very interesting. I mean, I think that there's a very high likelihood CT and Diem would have at least made it to like this part in at least the final five, final four ends. I mean, I don't see anyone ever voting in Diem in over the course of this season, so I think CT and Diem probably would have been in the final.
I think there's a high possibility that people would have thrown in CT and Diem, barring. I would say
maybe at this spot at earliest final five, maybe final four. I don't think they would ever have been thrown.
I think they would have been just as cut. Like if Wes and Teresa and Jay and Jenna and all the band of misfits, like they would have thrown in CT and Diem. Possibly before even Bananas, they took a shot at Bananas and Nani. Like, I think, if anything, CT and Diem may have been a buffer for Bananas and Nani and would have had them not go home as soon. Mm-hmm. It's so hard, though, because CT and Diem were always, like, top finishers while they were playing. And so many power couples could have been changed, and the whole game would have been different.
I mean, it's totally different. Totally different.
We would have loved to see them on our screens, and it's unfortunate that we can't. But going back would be impossible. If anything, I think they would have been more aligned with Bananas and Nani. Is that me just being crazy?
I don't know.
Could they have united Bananas, Nani, Wes, and
could have had a Bananas CT West trio? That's a hell of a pairing.
I'm gonna say no chance on that, but
yeah, I don't think so.
Girl can dream.
I mean, I think it's possible CT could have been almost doing what Sarah was doing and playing both sides, saying he's with each of them and waiting to see the way it plays out, because I mean, obviously CT and Wes had the bond over rivals, and maybe.
But do they, like, is that a real strong bond, like stronger than?
I think it's strong enough. I think when you win the challenge together, there's at least some type of friendly bond together.
Is that the last time we've seen them on a challenge together?
Well, I mean, it was only like what, two seasons ago, so.
Okay, so free agents then now.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Were they both on free agents? I don't even remember.
I thought.
Was West, I don't think, on free agents? No, Wes was not on free agents.
Yeah, that's
no.
what I'm saying. So yeah. Then free agents, no, they weren't.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting. All right, so now we've reached the section in defense of Jay and Jenna.
Ooh, the
Jay spoke very loud because I bolded this section. So I'm following my own directives. Natalie Oliveira. Who is worse, Devin on seasons 2/free agents or Jay and Jenna on X's 2?
You know, I would honestly say going into this episode, I would say Jay and Jenna were probably worse, but I was very impressed with this performance by them. I mean, they did beat Bananas and Nani and Leroy and I in this challenge. So I would say that they did better job on this season than Devin did. And they also didn't win a power. They did win a power couple. So
I believe is the baby trying to get out?
That is my brother getting out to go do laundry.
Is your brother a baby?
Maybe.
If you have trained your brother the baby to do laundry, that is very impressive.
I put him in a time machine, fast forward a lot of years.
So I think I've said this on the show before, the podcast before, but
have you been saying this on other podcasts? Are you podcasting on me?
No, I don't know if I've said this just to people in general, because I use it a lot. My dad always says that if on any given day, he says this with Northwestern football. I went to at any given day, the worst team can beat the best team. Like, at any given day, anyone can have a good day.
Right.
And I always felt that about Jay and Jenna with the trivia, I think is maybe when I said it, if I said it at all. But I think that this surpasses that because they've never been in a dome by being the worst. They've never got voted into a dome. Whether or not you want to say that's good social game or being goats, it doesn't matter. They've never gotten put in a dome. And they've done pretty well. They've been a power couple. Like, they have been the best or second best. So, you know, no shade. Like,
yeah. I mean, I don't remember.
It's not a bad showing. It is not a bad showing, especially for people of their size and intelligence.
Yeah, I mean, I don't remember exactly how many times Devin was in the draw versus in, like, the potential to be voting off. So I don't know how many times Devin may have finished last in some of these. I imagine she probably didn't do too well in the challenges. I don't have a good memory of it. But yeah, I mean, I'm honestly, the last few episodes, I've been more and more impressed with what Jay and Jenna have done. They're not, I mean, I still think they're 100% finishing third, but they've put a decent showing together.
There's someone wrote a really, really funny comment about that. But all right, Alex Van Moran, while it is universally agreed Jan Jenna did the least to get to the finals, which maybe we're not universally agreeing at, do they deserve some credit for at least never finishing last and automatically getting sent into a dome? So do you think that they've, it's universally agreed that they've did the least to get to the final?
Universe comparatively to the other teams that would be in a final?
Sure.
I would think so, right?
I mean, all right.
I mean, I guess you could say maybe Bananas and I did less because they did lose an elimination. But I mean, I don't see how you could say they did more than Jordan and Sarah or Naya and Leroy.
Well, when you're saying did less, like maybe staying out of the dome and not losing any challenges is doing enough or more than somebody who always ends up in the bottom and doesn't have the social ability to stay out of the dome and then has to win the dome. Or they did enough to not have to get eliminated and win every single Battle of the Exile. Like, I don't know. It's interesting.
Right, you love Jay and Jenna.
I love them. Yeah, but I'm buying you a Jay and Jenna t-shirt. That's fine. Free clothes. I don't think it's fair to say that they did the least because you can always, like, I've defended Devin probably 3 or 4 times a season by just saying she had a great social game. Like, maybe hooking up with a team that had some power at some time and protected you isn't that bad.
It's a very good strategy, and at least maybe it'll give her a partner for a hopefully that never happens exit story.
And it's not fair to say that they got carried necessarily. In certain situations they did, but in certain situations everyone got carried, and they won when that one challenge, which is more than, oh no, Leroy and I were a power couple. I guess everyone left has won, but they didn't lose the game.
No, I mean, you give them credit for never losing. Like I said, Devin probably lost at least 1 or 2 challenges, I would think.
I thought she never went to the dome.
Well, no, she never went to elimination, but remember there was...
Oh, they draw.
The way it was, whoever, like, a bottom half would be in the draw and the other half would be up for elimination. So I think... Gotcha. I can't remember how many times she was up for a draw, but I imagine she finished last at least once or twice. So shout out to Jay and Jenna. They did all right.
And then we have a comment from Judaray Almario. Jay and Jenna played the best game rookies can play. I like to think of them like Mike and Leroy from Rivals. Both played an under-the-radar game, won a mission, and got themselves to the end. Credit deserved in my book, and I can't wait to see them come in third just like their predecessors. That I loved. And I can't wait to see them come in a deserving third place.
You know what? Bravo. They're going to win $15,000 more than I'm ever going to win for being on the challenge. So, good job for them.
Let me just see. I guess, okay, so Gregory Contreras says, why are Jay and Jenna getting so much heat for making the final when last season Riley, Devin, and Nani didn't go into an elimination? Not to mention the fact that Jay and Jenna stayed out of the drama and aligned themselves with the right people. Although, they aligned themselves with Wes, which was the right people for so long, and then they were the least threatening, so that worked to their advantage. And,
I mean, I think saying they aligned themselves with Wes is also a little stretch. I think Wes aligned themselves, or really just, like, brought them in. So I think that's a little bit of a stretch, too.
But you look, even in this episode, like, Jenna's in on the action. Like, when Sarah's venting, like, Jenna's there. Jenna was hot enough that Zach wanted to talk. No, I'm just kidding. Jenna had a relationship. Okay,
so you're giving her credit for just having being talked to by someone.
No. I'm giving her credit for, like, being in the room. Like, she clearly has relationships with these people, whereas, like, Nani protected her because they were roommates, didn't she? Was that pretty?
I mean, don't get me wrong. Jenna's probably, like, a really sweet girl, and I'm sure she would be fun to hang out with, but I also don't think that she'd be deserving a lot of credit.
I'm not giving her a shit ton of credit. I still think they're goats and they're going to come in third place. But I definitely think they did way, way, way better than you or I expected in the first time we heard that they were going to be on the challenge.
I didn't think they'd get past the third episode. Although I think I thought they wouldn't get past their first elimination. So I was right on that.
This is funny, and I'm going to let you answer this, and I won't say anything, I promise. Kristen Narr asked, Johnny Portland did basically the same thing as Jay and Jenna in his first season, but he's well-respected. Explain. Anyone that can make it to a final deserves it, in my opinion.
Johnny Portland sucks. You're equal. Next question.
Okay. That's bizarre, because I don't think Jay and Jenna suck, so. Look, if anything, you just said that Johnny Portland's worse than Jenna.
I mean, I think the way that he's respected is more so, he's more respected, I think, because of how well he did in a final. I think if he was a disaster in a final, kind of the way that Zach was, I think you can look back on that and say, oh, he was really just carried there. He got really lucky. He didn't deserve to be there, whatever. The fact that he did so well in the final, I think it kind of changes the perception of that season. So I say, look, if Jay and Jenna go out there and they finish second or, oh my God, win, then it changes the perception of them being carried to a final.
I will say that Johnny Portland potentially got just as lucky in terms of he was in the draw a lot and just never got the kill card. So he was up for it a lot based on his own performance. But
right.
I think he socially had more control in free agents than Jay and Jenna did in this season. I think that's probably fair. It balances out, but I agree that Johnny's final performance. I mean, let's talk when Jay and Jenna do amazing in the final. Yeah. Then we can talk, Kristen.
Yeah. Okay, if Jay and Jenna finish second or first, send all the heat my way, and I'll say that Jay is equal to Johnny Portland. But I don't see that happening, so I'll rest easy.
Edward Morris says, if Sarah wins, who's the best player to never win a challenge? While you're thinking, the overall consensus of the listeners from the people who commented were Leroy and Cara Maria. Is that Hup's struggling?
Yeah, that's probably the top two in my mind. I'm trying to think if there's anyone else that stands out. I mean, I guess Teresa would be right up there. I think below Cara Maria, but next on the list after her.
Well, it depends what you mean by best. Like, I feel like Teresa's been so slighted in the last two that I really can't stand her this season, but I am biased in her favor. I'm just like, she deserved the opportunity at least once in the past two seasons to be in the final.
Right. Yeah, it just sucks. She's never even had a chance to be in a final. At least Cara's been in at least one. I can't remember.
Has Teresa never
been in a final?
Oh, woof.
She didn't win elimination until last season.
It's just, what was I going to say? It's just like because of, just not only because, oh, I feel like she deserves to get there, because I feel like the past two times she's gotten eliminated have just been such robberies on her. Yeah,
and so close to the end.
That if you just go out because you go out, okay, fine. But like because there's a one-time only twist where the huge enemies of yours that you got out of that house come back, and then like the ordinary random puzzle sends you home right before the final, then I feel bad for you.
She's like the Charlie Brown of the challenge. Keep pulling that football
womp
away.
Womp. Okay, Kristen Knarr.
Did you have anyone else in mind, by the way, for best to never win?
No, because you know what? I was pissed at myself for reading the listener answers before I thought to myself, because then I was like, oh yeah, that makes sense. I don't know that I'm even willing to put Leroy in it because he's a great competitor, but he's not a good player of the challenge.
I just can't think of any other.
So I would probably put Cara Maria and Teresa in.
I can't think of any other top guy who I think would be. I'm thinking, oh, they hope they win it, or they should win at some point. I think everyone else, like, because if Sarah wins, that means Jordan wins, so he's not like he would be in that.
He,
mix.
I don't feel like, has been around enough for
no,
me.
No, he hasn't. So
he's
I don't
desperate
know, he,
to win.
What about Johnny Portland? Next question.
Again, I don't like you perpetuating the inaccurate statement that I don't like Johnny or think he's a good competitor.
But honestly, I don't think there's anyone else besides Leroy at the top of my head that's like, oh, this guy, I hope he deserves to win at some point. I think they've been around the block.
Yeah, so. I'm not even willing to put Leroy in there. Yeah. Like, I don't think there is a guy right now that I can think of. Chris and Nar, are you guys wanting another Johnny and Westless season as much as I am? I feel like this is getting redundant. And then, go ahead. I'll let you answer that first.
I mean, I think this is really the first time that specifically it was Bananas versus Wes. I don't remember the last time those two specifically have butted heads in at least a while. Usually there's someone else that they're butting with, or it's like a group effort. So I don't think it's redundant, really.
Eric Nordstrom suggested Arrivals, but I feel like these players are too good for that concept. Like, I think both would be willing to put it aside and work together for the money, especially the way that they both worked with Exes and Rivals. But
please, no more Exes and Rivals.
No, I agree. I just think that this concept only works on people who are too immature to put the money above the drama, or their drama is so real. And there aren't enough Exes where it's like Avery and Johnny.
Yeah.
And I don't want the good players to have to get bounced because the rest of them are sheep. Like, I don't want to have a Johnny and Wes-less season because the rest of the players aren't at their level. So then it's like we have to get them out so that everybody else can play and it can be entertaining.
Right.
Like, I wish there could be just, I mean, we've talked about this a million times with like what Battle of the Sexes would have to be like. Like, I don't care what the theme is. I would just like there to be other strategic, cunning players. And I feel bad that Wes and Bennas would have to get bounced in order to put everything on an even watchable playing field that wouldn't be predictable. But if that's not the case, then I wouldn't mind seeing Wes and Johnny take a break.
Yeah, fair enough.
Vincent Cloud, who would you side with next season between Wes or Bennas?
I mean, I guess Bennas. I mean, I'm like not an anti-Wes guy. Like, I like Wes. I've just been more pro Bennas, but
why?
I don't know. Just kind of always felt that way. Wes just annoyed me the first couple of times I saw him, and I kind of haven't been able to shake that feeling. But I mean, I like Wes. Like, if Bennas wasn't on a season and it was Wes for someone else, I'd be pro Wes.
One day you'll explain why you like Bennas so much. I was going to say I statistically think it's always better to side with Bennas because the rest of the house probably will. But then this is when Vincent also alleged that production hates one and loves the other, which I don't agree with.
Yeah, I don't agree with either.
Tia Town Sean, where does this season rank compared to other seasons? Although the scandal levels are down, do you feel the strategy and gameplay has been better?
I don't know about better, but it's been a lot more prevalent, I think, which is kind of a nice change. I know I kind of hope maybe next season we get the combination of the strategy and the scandalous behavior that we do like to see. But I mean, it's been a pretty good season, I think.
I was going to say this is 100% not one of my top seasons and probably isn't even close. Like, just compared to Free Agents, I think I like Free Agents.
I mean, Free Agents
20 to 30 times better.
Free Agents is my like top two or three season, I think. I thought that was a fantastic season.
I don't even think I'd put this in top five.
No, I mean,
I would probably put both Fresh Meat seasons above this, Free Agents above this. Like, I am not getting anything from this season. I think it's watchable, which is more than I can say from some other shows. So that's a compliment, but I don't think that this is a great challenge season.
And I think a lot of it just really also has to do with just the format. You know, I thought Battle of the Exes 1 was a really good season. I thought Rivals 1 was a really good season. I thought both sequels were significant drop-offs just because of the pairings they put together. You don't have that really interesting history where you're seeing people work together that you see a history of them hating each other. Now there's like random hookups being together or random fights being together where it's a mismatch and it's four storylines. So that's why this has not been that good.
Did I say both Free Agents? I meant both Fresh Meat.
No, I think you said both Free Agents. Now I said both Free Agents. No, I think you said both
Fresh
Meat.
Whatever I said, you guys get me, so it's okay. Yeah. So I also think it depends. A lot will depend on the final. I think like sometimes the final can really make it or break it. Sometimes the final is but like last season, the final was unbelievable.
So that was great last year.
And what happened was amazing. Like sometimes you can't control for like the biggest behemoth, like not being able to move.
Oh, that was great. Especially now looking back on what an asshole Zach has become, thinking back on that is even better.
Speaking of what an asshole Zach has become, Natasha Corrales says, "Hi, Allie, can you please go in on Ashley from Real World San Diego and Battle of the Seasons 2? She dated Zach and is now dating Bruno from The Real World. Two of the most misogynist pigs on The Real World. First of all, I love that she requested I go in on her. Second of all, yeah, I think this was like a news item that people have been tweeting at us that Ashley, who used to date Zach and who was on Battle of the Seasons while Zach was like exploding on Sam, is now dating Bruno, who for anyone, and I think we're going to cover The Real World tonight. We didn't talk about that, but I watched today.
Okay.
Have you watched?
Yeah.
I feel like we should talk about it a little bit. So, what do you make of that?
She doesn't have the best choice of stable men, I would say. I mean, Bruno was borderline psychopathic.
Ooh, dark to call Zach unstable. Dark. Shots fired.
I mean, what other way would you describe him?
No, I mean, I think the point, like, Bruno, for anyone who's not watching The Real World Skeletons, is, like, flies off the handle and this season, although what's happened in the last episode, it's hard to accuse him of being the most unfair to women, but has like gotten in certain women's face, like screaming and yelling at them to the point where it's scary. Yeah. Again, my only criticism of her is that she hasn't spoken out about either of these situations. Some people maybe want to be private, but she hasn't said anything about it. Zach's been pretty disgusting. Bruno is unwatchable, in my opinion, at this point on The Real World. So I hope she's happy. I hope she's reforming these men. But you should really speak out about this is my only critique and criticism.
So you want to jump into The Real World now? We're closing on the 2-hour mark. So if anyone's still listening, bravo to you. But do you want to jump in on that?
We're totally not closing on the 2-hour mark.
We're at an hour 43.
Yeah, that's not the 2-hour mark. That's 50 minutes. Okay.
This is the
challenge podcast. So if we have to cut The Real World, we can. But Keith Davis, I personally think Portland produced some of the best physical challengers, but worst mental and political players the challenge has seen in a long time. Do you agree with this statement?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of them are very good, and a lot of them cause a lot of fights and drama. So Portland's been a great addition to the challenge universe on all facets.
We totally don't need to talk about The Real World. We can talk about it another time if you want.
I mean, that's fine. It's now over, so. But we can do it next week if you want.
No, I'm ready to talk about it, but you seem concerned about time. Let's talk about this on the air. Scheduling.
Behind the scenes aspects. No, let's talk about it. What do you got?
All right, so Vanessa Stryer asked, what are your thoughts about The Real World skeletons? I personally love the cast. Wasn't a big fan of the twist. I feel like with just the 7 of them, it would have been a great season.
I just think a lot of this cast was just too... It's kind of weird to say for The Real World, just too crazy. And a lot of it was like too uncomfortable that it kind of took away a little bit of the fun of it. I didn't mind the skeleton's twist. I thought it kind of added some fun elements to it, but some of them were just a little too much.
See, I agree with Vanessa. I think that if it was just the 7 of them, it would have been a lot better. It would have been a lot realer. And there would have been a nice arc. And we've talked about this before. With the skeletons, for me, it was too segmented. We didn't see any real growth. Like, usually the story of The Real World is the story of, like, their growth from the beginning to the end and how they help each other. And it was way more, like, skeletons. Like, my arm motions would have made more sense with that sound.
Video podcast.
Couple questions. Why did Cole just go to Brooklyn for work?
I have absolutely no idea. That's, like, the biggest reason why I wish there was a reunion, just because I want that answered. How do you just...
I don't think that would have been answered on the reunion if it wasn't answered.
When they do that, like, tweet your questions using this hashtag, I would have tweeted that 10,000 times to make sure that was asked, because I want to know that so bad. It's the most random thing that's happened in Real World in a while, that someone could just disappear for, like, a few days. Especially when the storyline is them going to see one of their roommate's kids.
I thought... The best character on the show was Skylar, who is Madison's ex-boyfriend, and I wish he could be on the challenge. And the best part is that Tony, if anybody wants to watch some douche get served, Tony gets a taste in the last few episodes of all of the stuff that he does. It's like such a joke. Like, it's such a joke that a human being could function like this, could be such a D-bag to some girl, and then minutes later... expect to be in this exclusive committed monogamous relationship. So check that out if you want to see some D-bag get a taste.
And they're still together, amazingly.
Way to spoil it. Madison tweeted, hey baby, you want to go ahead and tell them if we're together? And Tony wrote, found love in Chicago and I'm still in love.
I'm stunned. I mean, I'm stunned. I didn't think it would make it out of the house. I didn't think it would make it after the show's airing. I don't think it's going to make it much longer, but I don't know, good for them.
One thing I want to ask you about is, so there's a moment in the last episode where one of the guys, we don't see it on air, but one of the guys physically lifts up one of the girls, puts her against a wall in the middle of an altercation, puts his hands on her.
Right.
And MTV's reaction was to bring in a therapist. This was a week before the end of the experience. What do you think about MTV's reaction to bringing a therapist? This was a first. Usually they just go...
It was pretty ridiculous. I mean, for all the things, I mean, it was just felt so out of place that all of a sudden they were bringing a therapist, and it's not like any of them, I don't think, well, maybe a couple of them took it kind of seriously, but it just seemed like it was, what was possibly going to happen there that was going to resolve it?
I totally disagree. I thought for the first time MTV was actually, like, practicing what they preach with at the end, where they're like, domestic violence, like, hurts everyone. Call this number if you or a friend are being harmed. Like, I think that this was actually an example of what you could do in this situation. Like, if somebody's actually watching this who's in an abusive situation, like, look at therapy, and sometimes your attacker can open up or something like that. Like, I thought usually they just send you home. I think they only did this.
I mean, that's God, not God.
I think they only did this because there's only a week left in the process, and sending him home on the same episode where everyone leaves wouldn't be anything. But at the same time, I think that usually they just send someone home to just be an asshole at home. Like, I think this was like an attempt to correct the behavior.
I mean, that's fair. But then why wouldn't they make it mandatory for everyone to participate? Because
you can't force a victim to participate in therapy. Like, that, I think, would have been really dark if they said, Nicole, you have to confront him. Like, that, I think they're not allowed to do. I think if Jason said he didn't want to participate, it would have been fine, too.
The whole thing to me felt kind of weird, but...
What felt?
I was just saying, the whole season felt weird, like, with them springing Jason's dad on him for the first
time.
That
was the worst thing that ever happened in the history of the world.
I mean, that just to spring someone like that with... I would assume that they didn't tell him that he could consent to this moment beforehand, but otherwise I thought that was pretty disgusting on MTV's part to do that. So,
I mean, I think this is what I expected the skeletons to all be like, and that's why I was so disgusted. So for anyone who's not watching, the last skeleton who came, all the other skeletons were basically blips on the radar.
Well, Bruno's brother was kind of significant, so
okay, but it was Bruno's brother who fought over a can of tuna fish and said,
I mean, the fight was dead. Pretty, but they did not speak for like 3 years.
Well, we'll leave it to the audience to decide who is worse. I think this guy is like a 20-something-year-old dude who comes in the real world, and his dad, who he's never, ever, ever met before and only knows his name, shows up at the door a week before they leave. Like, that, I think, and it's on television. I'm sure they sign a million contracts that say we can bring whoever we want. Right. Like, there's no, you know, there's nothing to put in the contract to prevent him from doing this. But
I mean, look,
I just thought that was so absolutely disgusting. Like, your brother, who you haven't talked to in 3 years because he said, I wish you were dead, like, debatable. As you can see, that went fine. Like, I think that this was a complete invasion and pretty disgusting.
Totally agree. I think that if they want to do this, then you know what? You call him up and say, Jason, we have a final skeleton and we found your father. Do you want to meet him? Like,
you don't do that. I just think you don't do this. Like, I thought, that's why I thought all of the skeletons were going to be horrible. It's like someone's boss, someone whose wife is pregnant. Like, I didn't understand that the skeletons were actually, I think they wished that the skeletons were going to be more and were jazzed that they got this guy's father. And that's like absolutely sickening.
I just found the whole thing so uncomfortable. And then they have him doing confessionals saying that it was just like a one-time thing when he, like, the whole thing was just so uncomfortable.
I'm shocked that this guy was willing to do this. Like, I bet he got paid.
I had to have.
Tiffany Vaughn wants to know, so who do you guys want to see on the next challenge from Real World Skeleton? Nicole. I really hope that the four rookies from Skeletons we get are Tony, Violetta, Bruno, and Nicole.
I mean, Nicole to me is number one. Bruno would be number two just because he's absolutely insane. So he's like probably a really horrible guy, but putting him, I think, in the challenge house would be pretty amazing.
Someone who can't be talked to is frustrating. Even Violetta and Sylvia, like, you can talk to. Like, even, I'm going to call him T-Rains. What the hell is his real name? Tony. Even he can be, like, talked to. Like, Bruno cannot be spoken to. He is, like, so at the point where I'm so right that, like, no one can get into him, and then that is just not watchable. So I think if I never see anyone from this season again besides Nicole, I would be A-okay. And I think Bruno, they would bring back for a season, and he would get so old. Like, I mean, his shtick is always the same. He does not change. He does not evolve. He is so frustrating.
I could see him pulling like an Adam and getting in a fight like the first episode and then getting kicked off and never being heard from again. So.
I thought you meant Adam who fights with CT, which made me laugh.
Shout out to Adam Royer.
Are the skeletons eligible for the challenge?
Please, God, skeletons, no.
For anyone who didn't watch, the skeletons were on for like 2.5 seconds an episode.
I really
Skylar for the challenge.
Yeah, Briah for the challenge.
I thought Briah maybe would be the only person.
He might be.
Okay, and then just a few wrap-up things on the real world, because there will not be a reunion. On Twitter, Bruno rants about how fake everyone is, and then he alludes that he's like specifically talking about Tony. He calls them all alcoholics. And you can check that out on Bruno's Twitter if you're interested, because I don't care about Bruno. Jason tweeted out a huge apology or like not explanation, but like regret. Mm-hmm. Basically, it's just like a soliloquy of regret. And on Twitter, you can also read that if you're interested. And Nicole wrote out that he was more than just my friend. He was my brother, and how we deal with our situation is our business and ours only. The most important news item that I have is that Laurel, about 2 hours before we podcasted, tweeted out her address.
What?
And wrote, like, send me mail.
What?
And it's not a P.O. box. It is, like, a straight-up address.
Did she delete the tweet?
But I will check right
I'm
now
checking right
on
now,
that
so.
If you
oh
have
God.
Any news. But she did, and I was just like, why would you do that? I will not read her address on the air because I will not perpetuate her dumb decision.
What the hell? She did.
I can't
That's
make
so
this
crazy.
Up. I can't make this up.
Wow.
I mean, that said, she's been tweeting like a lot of like melodramatic stuff lately, and this is not really a surprise. But oh yeah, write me. And
yeah,
then she
that's
puts
so
her address.
Creepy.
And some creep wrote, thanks for the address, going to need that smiley face.
There's that shit is a lot of wait, one person wrote, I will stan you.
Please tell me you know that Dido Eminem song. If you don't,
I'm sorry.
Keep it moving.
I keep it moving.
There's a song by Eminem that he sampled like a Dido song, and it's like about a crazed fan writing to Eminem, and at the end he like puts his like pregnant fiance in a trunk and like drives off a bridge. We could have been together, man. Anyone who knows that song, I will follow you.
Well, you might go on a following spree. So the infomercials and Eminem songs then.
Probably not. But anyway, that's, I think, more important than any Real World news. Overall feelings on the Real World, because a lot of people tweeted or commented that Real World had like double the ratings of the challenge and Are You the One, so they can't imagine why it wouldn't be renewed. What do you think?
I thought it was a meh season. I found the cast pretty unlikable for the most part, actually, so I wasn't that into it.
I just so think this cast would have been so good had it been seeing their uptime and their downtime. Like, I think because of the X's twist, we only saw their crazy moments, and so we didn't see any, oh, these people are real, like, when Frankie left the show, I cried moments. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
There are moments of the Real One that I can remember being impacted by, and we didn't get those moments because it was all gimmick, gimmick, gimmick. That said, the gimmicks have helped their ratings, but I don't know. I can't explain why. I pointed you guys to Andy Dennard's article on Reality Blurred last week. I don't know why, based on the ratings, it would be canceled unless they just don't like the format anymore. I'm not sure.
I don't know why. I don't know.
All right. Well, thank you for that sound insight, Brian.
I'm sorry. I'm not plugged into the MTV renewal soundboard.
All right. Well, Brian has nothing to say on that. So you can follow him at Bus Driver's Route, and you can follow me at Lash Tweets, and you can check out our information at robhasawebsite.com, and you can subscribe to us at robhasawebsite.com/challenge iTunes.
There it is.
And that's it. So bye, everyone.
You had a hashtag.
The hashtag is Brian has to go. Bye, everyone.
I'm sorry. I don't know why the Real
bye,
World has
everyone.
Not been. I'll tweet the Giant Bananas and see what he does.
Thanks for playing. Bye, everyone.
Do you actually have anything else?
No, I just signed off. You should just stop recording.
And on that note, see you all next week. Have a good one.
Why won't you let me wrap it up?
Bye.